Now for something completely different.
Smoke medical weed every day.
The following thoughts on Hoppy Hour represent Brian Hoppy and Facet. Listener discretion is advised.
Live from Tampa Bay, you are tuned in to Hoppy Hour.
He's the voice of a generation that got screwed by the baby boomers. Welcome back to Hoppy Hour.
Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour. Hoppy Hour starts in 4, 3, 2, Hoppy, Hoppy, Hoppy. This is Hoppy Hour with Hoppy.
What's up? This is Hoppy Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppy, and let's get right into it. From the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire out of Omaha, Nebraska, I've been listening to this guy for 12 years now, and it's very surreal to have him on the show. The one and only Mike Tyler is live on Hoppy Hour. What's up, my man?
Hey, man, I like that production. It sounded good. Thanks for the intro.
Thank you, man.
This is good, man.
This is crazy. So I grew up a radio nerd. I'm from Chicago, so I grew up listening to Chicago radio. And I'll keep it short, but pretty much in 2001, I didn't have TV because we grew up in a very conservative household. So my whole life, I listened to radio, and I looked up radio. And I was graduating high school in 2012, and I was like, man, I got to get into radio. And I was looking up radio shows, and I would listen to you guys every day. I would go back between you guys and Opie and Anthony, and I was in a typing class at 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. And you got to imagine, this is a typing class where everyone's on a software typing, and they're listening to music then or whatever. And you guys would make me laugh so loud that my teacher would look at me, because you got to realize they don't know what's going on in the headphones. And I just have memories of you guys making me laugh so hard. And that was 12 years ago, and now you're on my show, so this is very cool.
Yeah, that's great, because I was wondering how you found us. I mean, I realized with this day and age, you can find shows everywhere, but I know you weren't from Omaha or anything like that, but I know we're on the internet's everywhere, obviously. So that's really cool, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. We like people to listen to the show, for sure.
So you had the day off from the show this morning. What do you usually do on your day offs? Because I've done morning radio on and off. Currently, for my radio job during the day, I get up at 8. So it's not like when I was doing 4 a.m. radio. But I totally know from my experience of getting up early. So for you, on a day off, what do you do?
Well, I sleep in a little bit. I mean, that helps, you know. And I pretty much try to. The day seems longer when you don't work. If you're in radio, I like my job. And we all need time off. Stop saying a bunch of crap you don't want to say on the radio. But I just hang out. My wife goes to work. My kids are 21 and 19. One of them's still here. One of them's in college right now. So, yeah, me and the dog walking around, you know, I try to work out, try to hang out a little bit, but that's about it. Nothing much. Just take it easy. You know?
My uncle grew up a diehard radio fan as well. It just runs in my family. And he told me in the 90s that Baba Booey wouldn't let his kids listen to Howard Stern show back when it was really, really dirty. Now, I wasn't able to hear you guys back in the day, but how raunchy were you guys, like when you guys could be raunchy? And did you ever have to protect your kids from the content?
Great question. Todd's kids were older, so we first got together, his kids were, you know, they were 8, 9, 10 at age. But I didn't have many kids till 2002, 2004. But you know what? It was one of those situations where, you know, kids don't really, their friends heard about who we were. I mean, especially in my situation, their friends' parents would know what I did for a living. So my kids really didn't listen that much to the car because we were pretty dirty. We're still kind of dirty, but the kids just didn't really care because that was just dad's job. You know, a lot of guys, so they didn't really care. But then when they started listening and some of their high school buddies liked the show, then it became kind of cool. But, you know, it's still one of the situations. Now they're growing up. And I tell we did a story the other day about my daughter's cat having herpes. And I called her at school and I said, listen, you got to check out the podcast. Just look up cats. Your cat's a slut. So they're grown people now. They turned out okay.
Cats are awesome, by the way. I know that's just a random thing to say, but I've had cats my whole life. And here in St. Petersburg, Florida, everybody brings their dogs everywhere and they are so loud. And there is just something so peaceful about just a house cat that just eats, craps, and cuddles. I swear.
I don't mind cats either. My daughter's got a cute one. We have a little dog here. I'm sitting right beside me, actually. But I get it, man. I get it. Are you? How'd you get to St. Petersburg? I love it down there. It's beautiful.
So I did a bunch of radio in Chicago from 2012 to 2014. Went to a radio trade school. Went to morning show boot camps and met a lot of people. Then I briefly worked for Rovers Morning Glory in Cleveland. And then on March 17th, 2015, I got blackout drunk and smoked a lot of weed at a bar crawl because I was 21 and the fame got to my head.
Yeah.
And I thought like that was the appropriate thing to do because it was like a shock jock show. So then I got fired.
Yeah.
Me and Robert didn't really vibe anyway. He doesn't vibe with many people. So then I needed to break my lease and get out of Cleveland. I was working as a janitor, actually making more money doing that than doing phones for him at a gym. And people were filming me and sending it to Rover. So I'm like, I got to get out of Cleveland. So one of Rover's old producers was working for Kelta at the time. So then I got a promotions job at a Bone. So then I worked at the Bone for 7 years and then kind of reached my peak there. So then I did sports radio for 9 months. And then I did promotions for about 7. And now I have like a daytime job in radio that I keep private. I do production because it's kind of it's very conservative. And I'm kind of edgy, so I don't really post about it because, like, they're more family-friendly. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. But I love it in St. Pete. I mean, it's, like, 90 out right now, maybe 70, but it feels really hot because it's been kind of
I see your socials. You're hanging by a pool the other day. I see your socials, For a person that, you know, I know who you are just from the social media and everything. And actually, a buddy of mine good friend of mine, Paul Mercurio, said he did your show years back. He's a comedian friend from New York. You know,
I met him at the morning show boot camp in 2018, and he comes up to me and goes, "You are fucking tall."
I remember telling him about that, and I told him I'm going to do your show. But Paul's an old friend. He comes home all and does a funny bone, and we become friends. So it's pretty cool. Yeah, he's a good guy.
That's one of my favorite parts about your show and shows like your show is that you guys talk to comics because there's so much fake radio out there. I know a lot of people. I'm friends with people that do the fake radio, and I'll call it out. Yeah. And I got in trouble at my second to last job for talking about a show in the building doing fake radio on my podcast. But it's just like, if you're going to put that out there, it should be called out. And that's what I've always liked about you guys is you guys are just a bunch of dudes talking and hanging out. While being professional,
you know what? I've always hated that the other shit, the fake radio stuff, because I've never done it. You know, it's when Todd and I got together, he was doing mornings when I first met him. I was doing afternoons back in Pennsylvania. We met there and we got together. We were here we were in Pennsylvania about a year, and we went to Omaha, and then we were syndicated in mid 2000s, whatever like that. But the funny, we just like to talk and hang out and, you know, tell dick jokes with each other and just blah blah blah. But you're right, comedians are a big part of that we've met through the years. They get to hang out, and we're lucky enough to know some, but really, really talented, smart, and, you know, legends as far as I'm concerned. They come on the show, so it's pretty cool. Yeah.
For you guys, you probably don't need to say names, but has there ever been a comic where you really had to get a lot out of them and you were sort of expecting them to bring more?
Well, it's funny because a lot of comics do, especially back in the day, were forced to do shitty shows. So if we didn't know the guys, they came in not knowing what to expect because they're used to doing shows where guys set them up with jokes or punchlines, and they hated that. So a lot of the guys, the newer guys we just met, that's once they realized we weren't like that, they started vibing with us a little better, and they would just then they just got the talk. But most guys that come on the show now, pretty much 100% of the guys and women for that matter that come on the show now know what it's about. They don't lay out their bits. They just get to talk and hang out with us. So, but I can't name it specifics because we've had some interaction people we didn't like back in the day, but then we end up making out with them, you know, because it was like it was just became like that. We're not, you know, you're cool, we're cool, everything's good. So
I'm friends with a few comics, and they kind of go through waves of emotions. Like, they can be super cool, and then they can be dicks, and then you just don't talk to them for 3 years. Like, one of my closest friends who's a fucking maniac is Chad Zumach. Like, 1 month Chad's great at me. The next month he's mad at me. I fucking love Chad for that. He's a maniac.
Well, Chad, I know Chad because Chad used to come to town all the time back in the day. He came with Florentine and and Chad was a piece of Cleveland Brown fan. Obviously, you met him. He was a Cleveland guy. You know that. And we used to give each other shits. I'm a Steeler fan. Chad is a crazy dude. Is he doing okay? I haven't talked to him in a while. I mean, we're good, but I haven't talked to him in a while.
He's got this thing. There's that East Coast comic podcast scene of like Kevin Brennan, where all those guys, kind of a part of Anthony Cumia's network, they just tweet at each other all day and say really mean things. Yeah. So his whole social media is him arguing with these comics. It's quite fascinating to watch because it looks tiring. It's hilarious.
He's a nut job. He's a nut job, but he's an East Coast bastard. Well, Cleveland bastard. And I'm originally from the East Coast, so I get it. But he's him and I have always been cool. So, and he's always been great with the show. So whatever his other problems, other people are, that's his scene, not mine. Chad's always been great, good with us, man.
Now, how do you guys prep to talk to a comic? Do you guys kind of, so for example, Rover would have all this prep. Kelta had no prep. He would just talk to them. For you guys, do you guys have info printed out about them, or do you guys just do kind of a casual conversation, especially if you're bringing in
If it's a brand new comedian, and most of the guys are recurring guys we've already known, obviously, but if it's something brand new, you know, all I really need to know is where they're from originally, and that's a question I'll just ask. I can even ask not even knowing that. I'll bring up, usually when I'm talking to them on my computer, I'll have their dates where they're going to be. But I like it to be just really just organic, because it sounds, it's just when they're in, especially when they're in the studio. Now, it's different if they're on the phone calling in for a quick bit and we haven't met them yet. Then you got to get to feel them out a little bit. But if they're in the studio, it's so easy just to start relating to them, and they realize it's a great hang, and so it's no big deal. But it's not a lot of prep, because all these years of doing this, and now with social media, comedians are everywhere, so you see all their work. So, it's pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, what do you guys do during the commercial break? Because I've worked on shows where they literally don't talk, and the rule is save it for the air. And then I've worked on shows where literally, I think, if they didn't talk so much during the break, it would be a lot better on air. Do you guys talk a lot during the break, or do you try to, like, save it for the air?
Well, that's a great point, because unless it's something, the only time we'll really talk during the break, sometimes we'll talk during the break about personal stuff that's not going to be on the air. If somebody has to say something, but mainly, a couple guys, I don't smoke, a couple guys go out to smoke in the parking garage. And, our breaks are only, now they're down to 4.5, 5, I think, each time. So it's not a lot of time. So everybody just kind of keeps it quiet, And it's not, but it's also, if there's a comedian in there, people will start talking. We had Frank Caliendo in Thursday, and he was in town hanging out with us. But it's tough not to talk, but comedians that know how radio works, we always go, once you start talking, everybody start having a good time. You go, hey, stop it, save for the air. So you're right. It's a mixture of both. But Todd and I are pretty quiet usually. So we've been together 31 years, so those mics are off on the show. It's not much conversation until the mics come back on,
Have you heard of Mike Busey, the Sausage Castle in Orlando, Florida? Do you know about that?
What's his last name?
His name is Mike Busey. He's like maybe 40. He's this big fat guy that has like this house where he holds like strippers and girls that like to have sex, like OnlyFans models. And he's got a friend with a huge gut, and he's got this like sex house in Orlando that's kind of like a circus. Anyway,
Holy shit. He
came. You have to look up the Sausage Castle afterwards. You'll be obsessed with it. And he's been like evicted.
Sausage Castle?
Yes.
Sausage Castle?
He's been evicted like twice and been kicked out of mansions. Anyway, he was in town 8 years ago in Tampa Bay for something, and he came by 102.5 The Bone, and he was in our performance room, and he had all these topless girls, and there was like chugging contests and that, and Frank Caliendo was there along with another comic. And Frank Caliendo's a religious guy, or not, maybe not religious, but he's a family man. And he was in town.
Yeah, he's not a bunch of skin walking around for sure. That's not Frank's deal. You're right.
He was in town visiting to go to Orlando and came by the show. And oh my God, yeah. he looked, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but he was observing the room, and there's all this Florida madness going on. It's probably my top three memories. For example, this girl named Jess the Midget, this little midget with big boobs, she passed out from like chugging vodka. And Frank's just watching it like, what the fuck is going on?
You know what? We talk to Frank all the time. I'm definitely going to bring it up. I got to see that.
It's in 2016. It was the greatest thing. And then she had to be carried to the first floor and brought into an ambulance, and people are carrying her like she's a baby. It was one of my favorite memories.
Holy
yeah.
That was on the radio. It was actually that was on the radio.
That was like 8 years ago. That was, I noticed the Me Too movement. Even if radio hosts aren't creepy, I noticed around 2017, 2018, things had to get cleaner. Because 2016, 2015, like the bone was insane. You had girls that were topless all the time and that. And then it became kind of more normal talk radio. I don't know if you noticed that. The beginning or the end of the last decade, things kind of got a little more politically correct.
Well, we noticed, be honest with you, radio took a lot of crap when it makes no sense. Obviously, when Janet Jackson's boob popped out and her tit popped out in the Super Bowl, they literally started cracking down on radio, which was really stupid. So, you know what? The naked chicks in the studio, we did that years ago, but we kind of were naturally growing out of that anyway. But we still have a, you know, just a guy talk. You know, you heard the show, a guy talk dirty talk and sports and sex and drugs, rock and roll, the whole thing. But yeah, that kind of slowly went away. But I think that was more. I agree with you a little bit about Me Too, but it's also just more about maturation and people say, well, we've been there, done that. You know, one of the things about naked chicks in the studio, unless it's obviously on video, is that, hey, there's a naked chick in the video studio. We can see her, but you can't when you're driving your car. It's like, okay, well, that's the big deal, right?
Yeah. Also, they can be really moody. We did a naked car wash in 2015, and it was 100 out. Yeah. It was July 2015, the 4th of July, and there were a bunch of naked girls cleaning cars, and it began to smell, and the girls were getting cranky. Girls can get cranky after, especially if they are drinking early in the morning. Oh, my God, bro. I'm telling you.
Oh, man. Next time I'm in Tampa, I gotta stop by and say hi for sure.
Yeah. I gotta take you out. I can show you every single strip club in the area. I've been to every one. I didn't even realize, because what's funny is my mom listens to everything I've ever done, bro, and she knows how I lost my virginity. She knows my body count. It's quite frightening. It's like almost unhealthy. Like, I was out to eat with these cousins that I met for the first time that are from the South, and we're at a dinner table in downtown St. Pete last June. They said to me, what do you talk about on the radio? What do you do on the radio? And without even being able to answer, my mom goes, I know how my son lost his virginity. And I'm like, oh, dear God.
You got to lay yourself. You know that. You lay yourself out there. We've been doing that for years. I mean, people that know so much shit about our personal lives. And it's like some of it's really embarrassing in a way. But it's like, whatever. It is what it is. You know, everybody's got shit in their life. But we just radio guys a lot of times live it right on the air. And that's what you do. Something to talk about, you know.
You know what's funny, though? I will forget what I talked about on air. So, for example, I'm kind of going out with this girl right now. Like, we're hooking up, and I like her. But her dad knew who I was, and I talked about both of my breakups on air, and I forgot I did that in, like, 2017. I did. And her dad was like, oh, yeah, Ryan was engaged at 24, and he did this and this. And it's like, you forget that you're talking to hundreds of thousands of people, and that it's very weird because you get comfortable, and you're trying to be entertaining and sort of shocking. But then years later, I don't know if you have it, I will forget what I said on air. People don't forget.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I said, well, first of all, when I met my wife, I was about 12 years older than she was when we first met. So I already had a reputation of being just a guy in, you know, the radio, all the radio shit. So her family knew her. And her family ended up being really cool. We've been together some 20-some years now. But it was like a situation where, like, people would talk and say, you already said. Now, she was always cool. She said, well, that's not how he is in person, blah, 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 you know, that kind of crap. So, you forget. All the shit's been out there. And even as long as you've been doing it, you say a lot of shit. And then people, now, especially now with podcasts, it doesn't, in the old days, it was just be on the radio and go. Unless somebody was recording it or something like that. But with everything's on tape, everything's a podcast now, form. You know, our show's repurposed a podcast. You can't hide from anybody anymore, which is actually a good thing, though.
Did you guys ever get an FCC fine?
We had some inquiries early on. There was some shit we did that people thought might have been illegal, and then it wasn't. But there was a couple things we did in the 90s that got pretty close. There was one out there that was actually, they say it was on file. I don't even know how the fuck we did. But it was something that, somebody tried to sue us. There was a news girl on a local TV station in town. And we used to just make fun of her because she was on the air once with us and hated us.
Yeah.
And said something shitty. And then we just ripped her new shreds. But she had these, for some reason, she had a hair that we thought looked like a ram, like big. Big swirly hair outside, like a ram's horn.
Yeah.
And we were talking about her and giving her shit. And this is a long time ago. And then it was the best part about this was something about fucking a goat came out without the word fuck, obviously. She's tried to sue us. And we were sitting in this is my favorite lot. We're sitting in a conference room with lawyers, our lawyers and our boss and some shit. Now she didn't have a case because she was actually a TV personality herself. So she was in the public eye, you know, it wasn't like somebody's show. And we didn't defame her or anything like that. We just said something about her looks. Or the lawyers had to read out the transcript of the show because there wasn't they couldn't just go right to the podcast. So yeah. The lawyers reading out the pod. So there's straight laced lawyers reading out what we said in the radio. And he's reading, and we're just laughing because he's reading it straight-laced, and me and Todd are laughing. Our boss is pissing us for laughing, and he says, "This is fucking serious, guys." And I'm thinking, "Oh, whatever." I said, "What we said was funny," but that hung around for a little bit. She tried to make some hay out of that, but nothing ever happened. It just went away. So I remember that like it was yesterday. But it, you know, it is what it is, you know.
It is weird because I've noticed that. In my experience of being around shock jock radio, it's always the PDs and the bosses are like not necessarily nerds, but they're very corporate. And it's like, I feel like the format could be bigger if it was run by people that are like shock jocks. It seems like it's people wearing suits that are in charge of the wild people. It's weird.
We have a great our PD right now has been with us about 12 years and he gets it now. He'll rein us in on certain things, but nothing much really. He gets it. And when the ratings are there, so there's no big deal. So, and then our company, we're at Summit now, Summit Media. They've been hands off and been good because the ratings are good. But I agree with you a little bit about 100% about that. I think it's people. We've had some old bosses that tried to keep us down, and we just kept doing it and. They lost their job. We stayed there. So, but you're right. Somebody breaking in new in this business, you know, they're gonna try to put their hands down on you. And sometimes if there's no ratings right away, sometimes there's ratings. They get rid of people. It's just, you know, it's a fucked up situation. You know, depending how the audience perceives you, I think. And if they know you're decent guys, they can put up with really hardcore jokes. I've always thought that.
Yeah. Have you ever said something on air and maybe it was a little too personal or edgy and you had to like dump yourself and press the dump button?
Well, our producer has a dump button now, but you know what? I'm pretty good about, I've said stuff that I probably shouldn't have said personal or revealing, but swear words, like I said, once we are the dump button is for us basically. Cause you know, somebody will drop the fuck or something like that or shit real accidentally every month or something like that. But then when the mics come off, I mean, when the on air signal's off, you know, we're just talking, we swear like, it's one of those things, you know, it's like having a trigger in the back of your brain that tells you when you can swear, when you can't. So we dump ourselves. Usually it's a caller that says something, not a caller. Just a comedian. A comedian will get real comfortable on the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, they forget they're not doing the podcast. And that's nothing. But the podcast, they forget they're not doing a podcast. They forget it's on radio. But most of them, do enough of both, they know when what they can say and when they can say.
What's one of the like craziest memories you have of having a comic in? Maybe they were like hyper or didn't sleep or something like that.
Oh my God, we had a bunch of those. Our buddy, we used to have a good friend of ours, a comedian named Jay Medicine, that traveled around the country. Yeah. He passed away about 10 years ago because he did a lot of drugs, a lot of partying. He ended his life too soon. It's one of those situations, but we used to party with him pretty hardcore back in the day, but it was, he would bring stuff in sometimes in the studio and like, oh, this is uncool. But yeah, I could tell you a thousand stories of a bunch of guys been or fucked up or too hammered or something like that. But that just became part of the show. I mean, it's funny because before Bert Kreischer blew up, you know, I know he's from down there.
Yeah.
And then we ended up getting to meet him pretty early when he was just doing the clubs, and he would come in there and do those morning shows and drink with him. And, that's it. There's some shit we did, but, no strippers passed. No midgets passed out. Like you said.
I was on a cruise with him when he was Channel Burt in 2016. And he spoke very well about you guys because Calta would be like, what do you think about this radio show? Like, Calta loves to talk to comics about other radio shows. And a lot of times he'll ask people, like, what shows do you like to go on? And a lot of the comics, like Jim Florentine, and a lot of people would often name drop you guys. You guys are always the ones that a lot of traveling comics like.
Well, the thing about comedians is I can relate to the, I don't do stand up, never tried it, but I've always been a big fan of comedy even before I got into radio. So when I started meeting some of these guys, Louis Black's a good friend of ours, but
awesome.
Louis Black to me was a legend when I met him, and he was just in town. We did a show with him, and he's on his final tour right now. So I think the key to that was we just let these guys talk and hang out, and my key is, If those guys laugh, they laugh at us, and then we laugh back. It's more relaxed, and we appreciate them name dropping us because, you know, in this business, it helps. And once again, they're just regular dudes having a fun time, and they know the show's not phony.
Yeah.
And like you were talking about that. There's a lot of radio out there that's just really phony, and it sounds that way. And comedians aren't going to play that game. They don't give a shit. You know, the guy talk we're talking about, the Florentines of the world, Kreischer, all those guys, they don't care. They're not going to phony it up. You know, they want to have a good time. You know?
Yeah. It's funny. There's a show that's in like 300 markets that I've just heard comedians over and over off air talk bad about, like just having to give your jokes ahead of time. I think it rhymes with never mind, but you know, I was trying to make a joke, but yeah, I respect them because that's a successful show, but that's not my type of radio. I like hearing like you guys or ONA in the past or Ron and Fez. I like hearing comedians be real. I don't need to hear, ha, 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 ha. Oh my God.
Yeah, those guys, I mean, Bob and Tom, they do what they do. That's their own thing. We do the exact opposite of that, you know. So, I can respect what they've done. It's just not my kind of radio either. It's what we do, you know. I agree with you. Yeah.
How often do you get recognized out and about?
Well, we've been here for a long time. So, it became second nature half the time because, you know, it's a big small town. So people do know us. But in general, it's 99% cool. We've joked about that over the years. One of our favorite things back in the old day was we'd be out of bars, shit like that, doing some event. And a guy would walk up to us and say, he goes, man, I love you guys. I love your show. He goes, my wife hates your show, though. You got to come meet her. I said, no, I'm going to go meet your wife. She hates the fucking show. But 99% of the people have always been cool. Any of them, if they're not, they usually don't say anything. They'll just don't give a shit, you know, which is fine with us, too.
It's weird. Because I'm 6'9", and I have a limp because I have a bad back from back surgery. So it's very easy to recognize me. And it's often, if I'm at a place that has people that are 25 to 54, like the age of talk radio, I can tell if I'm being recognized because it's almost like I'm a hot chick. They're up and downing me, and it's like they're often trying to figure out if it's me. I can, and it's very awkward at times because I'll be sitting at a. It's usually when I'm at a dive bar or like a rock concert, like that type of audience. I can, like, if I go to like the Hard Rock for an EDM show like Deadmau5 on Sunday, which you saw, nobody knows who I am because that's all 18 to 34 year old. But if I go to like a rock concert or a dive bar, someone's going to go, "Are you Hoppy?" Blah, blah, blah. It's fascinating.
Well, you know, I did notice that somebody told you, I mean, you should Mercurio mention something about that. Then I started realizing how tall you actually were, 6'9". I've seen you stand up with a bunch of those guys, you know, and I'm thinking, I recognize some of the guys you're in photos with. I'm thinking, 6'9", you are a big, tall dude, buddy. Are you standing in front of people at those shows? You said, fuck it, you know, they can't see, they can't see.
I will never forget. I was at this place called Janice Live. It's like an area where you can see concerts and it fits like 2,000 people. And I was seeing Lil Wayne in 2017 and I was in the middle. I was near the front. And this was actually almost Lil Wayne's last show. He's almost died like 9 times. But this show, TMZ was like, this could be it. His last show at Janice Live. Anyway, so it was a good show. He just showed up an hour late and did 30 minutes. Anyway, I'm in the front, and all these people are like, yo, bro, can you move? And I'm in the middle of, like, a crowd, and there's, like, a mosh pit in that. So whenever I'm at, like, a concert, I try to be more in the back. Like, when I was at the Deadmau5 show, I always have to be aware of if I think about this a lot. A lot of everybody in my generation, they film concerts, and I was like walking around the pool and I'm thinking I'm on someone's Facebook Live of me just it's weird to think about. Or I've been at bars before and it's like a crowded nightclub and the hip hop music's playing and I'll be in the background a little bit drunk and I've seen it before where I'm like spacing out because it's like 2 a.m. and I'm just chilling. And I've seen it before where there's like a group of hot girls. There's like 10 of them taking a picture. And I've seen it before where I realized I'm in it and the girls will look at it and then they'll move and take the picture somewhere else. So yeah, it's fascinating.
That's funny, man. It really is.
Yeah, girls down here, though, bro, man, they are. There's a lot of hot girls in Florida. They're crazy, though, and they all have daddy issues. So you got to deal with the craziness.
I can believe it. I can believe it. A good friend of mine moved down to Tampa. He's been down there for a while now, and he loves it, though. Yeah, he likes the area. Yeah.
So do you want to be in Omaha forever? Or if you guys were to end the show, would you guys move? Because, like, Brother Weeze is about to retire, and he moved to Fort Lauderdale. Like, would you guys ever leave Omaha, or do you guys kind of find it to be home?
Oh, Weeze is actually going to quit. I didn't know that. I didn't think I am, but that's because Weeze has been around forever. Good for
he
him.
He said on my show that after this year, he thinks it's probably done because he's like 77, 78. He's crazy, though, bro. I love Weeze.
Yeah. Oh, Weeze is great. I saw originally met Weeze in the early, when Todd and I first got together at a boot camp in Atlanta, like in the early 90s. And Weeze was a legend then, yeah. So now, you know what, be honest with you, Omaha's cool, but I mean, when we retire though, who knows, you know, we got 3 more years left on this deal and we don't want to quit radio because we love it. So, but you know, with the technology now, we can be anywhere and still broadcast if we wanted to, but yeah, Omaha's cool. It's good. I met my wife there. We have enough time. I get back EC family and stuff. So it's cool, you know, and my daughter goes to KU, so she's right there. Go ahead.
Yeah. What's the sports scene like in Omaha? Obviously, the Nebraska, is it Huskers? Is that it, right?
Yeah, the Huskers, yeah. But that's the funny thing about us. We since we're not from there, even though we've been there a long time, we don't like Husker football. We root against a lot of local teams, and it's just kind of funny just because I'm a Penn State fan. Todd went to Arizona State. He's an Arizona State fan. I'm a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. Todd's a Viking fan. So it's like we're not really – well, we'll root for Creighton basketball other than that. But once again, once we went syndicated, you know, we like to root about other – we talk about everything now, but we've never been Husker football fans for sure. And it's not because of the kids that play ball. It's their fans are a little crazy. And, you know, we think it's funny when they lose, and they've been losing lately. So it's kind of cool. You know?
Yeah.
But it's a really good sport. It's a good sports town, though. It really is. There's a lot of cool stuff there, though.
It seems like a very whiny fan base from what I've seen.
They are. Now, a lot of fan bases are. I'm the last one to defend Husker fan, but yeah, well, I would say that. They're kind of whiny, especially when but it's fun when they lose because we just give them so much shit. Yeah. But they know. They know we're not fans. So, like, most of my friends and family out there are all Husker fans, but they know I just give them shit, and I'm going to continue giving them shit, you know?
Yeah. Now, speaking about Pittsburgh, do you think you guys should ever get rid of Mike Tomlin, or should you keep him? Because I'll read online, people are like, it's time to fire him. I don't know what you think.
I'll tell you what, I hate being a sideline quarterback, because who am I to tell the Pittsburgh Steelers organization what they should and should not do? I'm just a big fan, and been a fan my whole life. I like Tomlin, and he'd get a job tomorrow if they fired him. So, you know, there's some issues with that team that need to be fixed, but I can't tell him what to do, but it ain't Tomlin's fault. I think Tomlin, I mean, he's just stud. People love him, you know. If we'd have got a quarterback like Mahomes, we'd be kicking ass too. So, you know, are you a big Tampa Bay fan now? Are you a Bears fan from being Chicago?
Okay. So the first year I watched the Bears was when they went to the Super Bowl. So I'm thinking this is going to be like this every year, and then they got that guy named Jay. Yep. Cutler, who I despise, hate everything about Jay. I don't like him. I'm kind of divorced from it because I've been gone from Chicago for a decade, and I don't even know if I'm a Tampa fan. I'm kind of like, I just like watching NFL more. I root for the Bucks, but I'm not a huge Bucks fan. And some Bucks fans are really annoying, and they're bandwagoners. Yeah. Not all of them. The diehards are nuts, bro. They dress up, and I don't know, like. I root for the Bears, but I know the Bears are never going to be good. I've just accepted it.
Yeah, I know Bears fans, too, are pretty bummed out about those guys, too. Yeah, yeah, missing the NFL, I'll be back in the fall. Yep.
Now, I wasn't able to check it out this fall, but what was your coverage of Travis Kelce and Swift? Because me, personally, I think it's a fake relationship, and I think he's probably, and this is me saying this, and every Swiftie is going to hate this, I think he's probably already cheated on her, because she's on the other side of the planet, and he's partying in Vegas. I mean, come on now. He's a football player.
You know what? I don't hate the relationship. The NFL, I mean, I don't really, like I said, I'm not a Chief fan, and so it's weird, because I root against the Chiefs, because we know a lot of Chief fans in Omaha. And they're paying the ass now that they're winning. So, yeah. Including our comedians on the show, Nick. So I have to say all the time. I said, listen, I don't hate Taylor Swift, and I don't hate Travis Kelce. I just hate the Chiefs. So when I root against the Chiefs, it's because of Chief fans, not those two. You know what? Who knows? They're going to hang out. You know, I'll be like any other guy. Sometimes their coverage gets annoying, but you know, good for them. You know, who cares?
You know what's funny is it first really annoyed me. But then I realized they just show her like 90 seconds during the game. It was a little more during the Super Bowl, but I love all the comments that are like, oh my God, blah, blah. And I'm going to admit, at first it annoyed me because I'm not a big fan of her. I think she's very annoying. And I've gone on a lot of dates with girls that are Swifties, and it's a very pretentious fan base. Not a fan. And they use teeth, if you know what I'm saying. They're very teethy during sex. Anyway, what I'm telling you is, I don't know. I just think she's fake. She just seems wishy-washy, but she's super famous, so good for her.
She's really super famous, exactly right. And what it is, what it is. We'll see how, if it breaks up, if that's on them. I really don't give a shit. You know.
I know. It has no impact on my life. I make the same money if they get married and have 7 kids or if they get divorced or break up. It doesn't matter to
me. Exactly. Don't care what they do. I just want the Chiefs to start losing. That's all I care about. You know,
so
however that happens.
What are some big plans you have for the show this year?
We have we got a live show. We're doing a live podcast with some of our comedian friends on April 12th. That's a Friday in a place at a club, a big club in Omaha. We did one a couple years ago. We didn't do it last year, and we just do we podcast the show live and people come out and. buy tickets and party, and we have the comedians. It's a good bash. That's going to happen in about a month, so we're looking forward to that. You know? So I'm looking forward. Yeah, and we do. And we did one a couple years ago. But it was outside a couple years ago, but we wanted to make sure we take the weather out, because there was a storm threatening the whole night we did a couple years ago. It never broke in, so this year we're putting in this big kind of amphitheater place, so it should be a good crowd. We have a good time, but that's what I'm looking forward to next, man. Yeah.
What did you guys do during COVID? What was COVID like in Nebraska?
It was dangerous, you know, like everywhere else was. We went in the studio, though. We had big glass partitions between us and each other. So
yeah, plexiglass.
Our comedian friend was down the hallway. Yeah, so we stayed separated. The building was empty, so that was, you know, I would go in, do the show, and go home to my house and drink, you know, like we all did. Became a more of an alcoholic than I already am, you know, during COVID.
Yeah, yeah, it was Florida was weird. It was shut down between March 22nd to June 1st, and then when they kind of semi-opened it, it was it was weird. I was living in like a bad neighborhood, and I was living in like a shack. So I just watched a lot of. I watched a ton of TV. I watched Ozark. I watched a show called Get Shorty. I just watched a ton of TV. That was what I did.
Right. I did too, for that matter. Yeah, I was trying to stay out of. I don't want to get sick, you know.
Did you ever watch? Did you ever watch Ozark?
I love Ozark. Yes, great show. Great show. I loved it, man.
To me, one of the, because I watched that during COVID, to me, one of the most unbelievable scenes is when Jason Bateman gets out of the car and beats that guy up. I'm like, come on. He's not doing that. Come on now. It's my favorite show.
But... All right, man. It was a good show. Yes, it was. All right.
I've watched a lot of TV, dude. It's crazy. I'm almost TV'd out. I don't know if that makes sense. I've watched so much TV during COVID. It's like I don't feel like watching TV.
I get that. I feel that a little bit too. I start streaming something and I get into it again. I'm not really going to finish this, you know. So, and I feel that way lately about TV. I mean, there's a lot of great TV, but I just get a little bored watching nothing like that. I'll watch a basketball game or watch a football game back in the day, and then back in the fall, and then I'll just go to bed.
Now,
early come. Yeah.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you: you guys made the Nebraska Radio Hall of Fame. Have you guys ever thought about the Radio Hall of Fame?
We got to get nominated. I mean, I see some names on there, and you know, we're well known, been around for a long time. We do pretty well, so yeah, I would love to be that part of that, but yeah, that seems like it's a who you know situation to get nominated. But I've seen regional shows like ours get nominated and get in. So yeah, if that would ever happen, that'd be great. And the Nebraska thing was a great honor to be inducted in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame in Nebraska. That was pretty cool because we're still, even after 30 some years, sometimes we're still the mainstream media just. They know who we are. They listen to us, and people, we dominate in the ratings, but they just fucking, they kind of hate us still because we're still just being pricks and dicks on the air. So.
Now,
I'd rather be the outside. 31 years outsider, I'm fine, but they put us in the Hall of Fame, so I'm very proud of that, yes.
Now, where can people find your show?
We have a brand new app now out, just Todd and Tyler Radio Empire. Just search that in your app store, and TodandTylerRadioEmpire.com. But all the podcasts, all the shit, the Deadpool, all the stuff's on Todd and Tyler Radio Empire. And we just got our own app, which is great now. That's great too. So yeah. Anywhere, Todd and Tyler, just search Todd and Tyler. Yeah.
Can you believe this was a 45-minute interview? It flew by.
No shit, buddy. It did. It was a lot of fun, man. I will promote it. But thanks a lot for doing this. Thanks for inviting me.
That is the nicest thing I've heard all day, that you are going to promote it. Because I'll interview a lot of radio people, and then they don't promote it. And I'm like, come on, now it helps out. So it's been a ton of fun having you on. If you would have told me at age 18 that this would be going on, man, this is crazy. It's been a lot of fun, bro.
Put out the link, buddy. I'll share it, man. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself, Ryan.
Awesome, bro. Thank you.
See you, man.
All right, bye. And that was Tyler from the Todd and Tyler Radio Empire, as he called into Hoppy Hour. Now, if this is your first time hearing my voice, hi, my name's Ryan Hoppy, and I've worked in radio for 12 years. So I do a podcast, which you're listening to, where I interview comedians and radio hosts. And I also have one that's similar to TNT, where it's like me talking about sex and dating and celebrity news and that. So go to every single major platform that has a podcast and search up Hoppe Radio, H-O-P-P-E Radio. It's essentially a podcast designed as a morning radio show. And go to every single major social media platform and follow me at Ryan Hoppe Radio and RyanHoppeRadio.com. And this has been Hoppe Hour. I am your host, Ryan Hoppe, signing off.
Hoppe Hour. Hoppe Hour. And like that, he's gone.
Hoppe Hour is now over.